In this segment, we are going to resume our discussion of the degree of continuity between the old and the new German military. This in the context of, for one thing, the initiation of Germany's first combat mission outside of its own borders since the end of World War II, an air support mission in the former Yugoslavia. Also by way of analyzing how the German military, specifically the Bundeswehr, the German army, fits into the long-term geopolitical designs of the German nation. We have examined in numerous programs in the past the fact that denazification was essentially a myth, although there remain many Germans of democratic instincts and many institutions in Germany that are democratic. The fact of the matter is Nazism was never effectively removed from Germany, this because the Western Allies, found the anti-communist and anti-labor stance of Nazism to be very much to their favor. And in particular, they found it very useful during the Cold War. This has permitted a degree of continuity between the old and the new Germany, this continuity quite evident in the German armed forces. For our discussion, we've been relying on a very important pamphlet called Reunited Germany, The New Danger. This is put out by the British Searchlight anti-fascist publication in combination with the Antifa Infoblatt, an anti-fascist German information service. And this is available from the Searchlight magazine. By the way, that's an anti-fascist publication, not to be confused with the American Spotlight, an ideologically opposite publication. More information about how to subscribe to the Searchlight right now.
To subscribe to the Searchlight, a British anti-fascist publication, write to Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, or phone 011-4471-284-4040, or fax 011-4471-284-4410. That's the Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B, New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, phone 011-4471-284-4040, or fax at 011-4471-284-4410.
That again, for information about how to get hold of the Reunited Germany, The New Danger, available from the publishers of Searchlight magazine. Obviously, you can also subscribe to the Searchlight at that same address. We have again been looking at continuity between the old German military and the new. We've been taking a look at institutional connections between the Bundeswehr and organizations related to or growing out of the SS, such as the HIAG, Waffen-SS, or Veterans Organization, and the ODR, an organization made up of holders of the Knight's Cross, a German military decoration that was established by Adolf Hitler. We've taken a look at institutional connections between far-right and neo-Nazi parties in Germany and elements of the Bundeswehr, also connections and statements on behalf of officers, including high-ranking officers of the Bundeswehr, and supposedly forbidden political activities. We've also taken a look at the severe discipline that is meted out to individual members of the Bundeswehr that engage in more progressive political activities. That is not a discipline that is applied to members of the ranks who engage in reactionary political activities. Of the frightening possibilities for the future of this degree of continuity between the old German military and the new, a German military expert, Professor Manfred Messerschmitt, warned about the possible dangers of the new German military in a television interview that is described in Reunited Germany, The New Danger, as follows. In a close-up segment, we read, in a segment entitled The Bundeswehr's Hidden Agenda, former chief official historian of the Bundeswehr, Professor Manfred Messerschmitt, was interviewed for Channel 4's Frontline program in autumn of 1993 on the hidden agenda behind the dispatch of German army troops to Somalia. He had this to say, quote, "The Bundeswehr was only possible because all the fighting troops were assigned to NATO. There was no special German high command. Today, I think that's one of the reasons why they want to go to Somalia and other places, is because there they have their own high command. I think this is the thing that is not mentioned today in our newspapers and television, but I think it is an important question for the military and even for our Minister of Defense. peacekeeping is not so problematic. But there is another question behind it, to enforce peace. And that means fighting, you know. This is a thing that many in the forces, and I believe even the Minister of Defense, want, because it shows that Germany is ready to take over responsibility in the world, unquote. Asked, what has to happen to make you feel sure about this country and its army, unquote? The professor replied, perhaps another 30 years, unquote. And again, that from Professor Manfred Messerschmidt, former chief official historian of the Bundeswehr. And again, some critics might label some of the information in the reunited Germany to be anti-German. Most of it is based on German sources, and a tip of the hat to those individuals and institutions who have done this important piece of research. One of the more alarming aspects of the Bundeswehr, again, now beginning to flex its muscles outside of its own border. Bear in mind Professor Messerschmidt's observations about peacekeeping missions and their requirement for their own separate high command. The current Inspector General of the German Armed Forces, the equivalent of our Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is a general entitled Klaus Naumann, N-A-U-M-A-N-N. He has some particularly interesting views, and those views are even more interesting when taken in consideration of the fact that he is very consciously and explicitly attempting to transform the Bundeswehr into an offensive military force and to establish what he terms a victor mentality in the Bundeswehr, toughening up its soldiers and preparing it for greater rigors to come. In Reunited Germany, the New Danger, we read as follows about Klaus Naumann, some of his views and policies. Again, bear in mind, he is the current head of the German Armed Forces. The South-style chief of the new German General Staff is a modern military leader for whom it is important that recruits should be ready not merely to offer blind obedience, but also, quote, in the context of their responsibility as citizens, unquote, to die for the fatherland. His openly stated aim is to endow, quote, the Bundeswehr with a victor mentality, unquote. The chief of the German military revealed his true colors in 1993, disclosing more about the nature of the leadership of a 370,000-strong Bundeswehr than can have been comfortable for Defense Minister Volker Rühe. At last, he, this, by the way, is Klaus Naumann, the head of the German Armed Forces, beginning again, at last, he gloated to general staff officers, we have reached the end of a period which began not in 1945, nor in 1917, but, quote, found its beginning in the French Revolution of 1789. It is ending because in a world brought together by modern communications, there is no longer a place for ideologues who can only function where they can do so with a mixture of lies and truths, unquote. Now, the pre-modernist melody with which German soldiers were regaled as they marched on Paris in 1870, 1914, and 1940 strikes up again in postmodernist tones with Naumann waving the conductor's baton. There was the egalitarian universalism of the bourgeois revolution with which the rot set in, and here, German national principles which, with the elimination of, quote, the ideas of 1789, unquote, history proved to be right. There, the superficial rationalism of the Western powers, and here, the serene depths of German culture. So on the one hand, we have the, quote, foreigners, unquote, and on the other, Wolfgang Schäuble, the leader of Helmut Kohl's Christian Democratic Union in the Bundestag, who declares, quote, we form an identity not through professing a belief in some idea, but from belonging to a particular nation, unquote. The soldier who wants to bury the age of civil rights is Klaus Naumann, Inspector General of the Bundeswehr and therefore de facto chief of the new German General Staff, as he is fond of pointing out. Naumann is the driving force behind Defense Minister Rühe's new Reichswehr, which he is reshaping according to his own Prussian example. Of course, by the way, the values of 1789, liberty, equality, and fraternity. Continuing. The biographical details of the new self-styled chief of the General Staff are readily available. Under the influence of the dramatic events in Budapest in 1956, Naumann, born in 1939, arrived at what he describes as, quote, a spiritual decision, unquote, to become a professional soldier. His promotion to lieutenant followed in 1960, the beginning of his general staff training in 1970, and in 1981 he took up office at the Brussels headquarters of NATO. In 1986, he became chief planner of the armed forces in Bonn, and his appointment as the Chancellor's closest military advisor followed swiftly. Naumann was on hand as, quote, minute taker, unquote, when former Soviet leader Gorbachev and German Premier Helmut Kohl had the secret discussions which put the seal on German unification. It was his whispered advice that torpedoed the plan being pursued at the time, against the then German Foreign Minister Genscher's wishes, to place the forces stationed in East Germany under NATO's umbrella, though with a national German high command. Naumann's promotion to the post of First Military Chief of Reunited Germany was pushed through by a particularly brusque personal intervention from Kohl. At the appointment ceremony, a fellow general groaned, quote, "It's going to get uncomfortable in the Bundeswehr now," unquote. In fact, Naumann, who was born in Munich, is a man of whom even the right-wing newspaper Die Zeit has said, quote, "has the stuff of fanaticism," unquote. Now bear in mind that General Klaus Naumann is now the head of the German Armed Forces, an inspector general, the equivalent of our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he is very, very close to Helmut Kohl, and Helmut Kohl was instrumental in Naumann's arriving at the position he has arrived at. Indicative of General Klaus Naumann's outlook is his insistence that graves of SS soldiers, and this again might appear to be trivial to uninitiated observers, but it is in fact symbolic and representative of much more deep-seated views on the part of this man who would reverse the values of the French Revolution. Indicative of Klaus Naumann's outlook is his insistence that graves of SS soldiers have their ranks inscribed on them. For decades now, SS veterans have been receiving German military pensions. In another close-up section entitled Naumann and the SS Graves, the authors of Searchlight and Antifa Infoblatt write as follows. German Armed Forces Chief General Klaus Naumann insists that the serving ranks of German soldiers, including those of the murderous SS, killed during the Second World War, be included on their gravestones in military cemeteries. Naumann's tough new line was endorsed by the German Defense Ministry, according to a report in the liberal Frankfurter Rundschau on April 1, 1994. However, the ministry denied a well-documented report in the German state TV Panorama program on March 31st, which alleged that Naumann had threatened to withdraw financial support of more than 3 million Deutschmarks a year from the German War Graves Society if it continues to block the Bundeswehr's proposals. Panorama reported that, at a meeting at the Bonn Defense Ministry between Bundeswehr representatives and the War Graves Society on January 28th, Naumann stated that, quote, "he alone spoke for the Bundeswehr," unquote, and that the inclusion of iron crosses and all ranks, including those of the SS, which differed from those of the Wehrmacht on German military gravestones, was, quote, "absolutely necessary," unquote. Naumann stated that this was applicable even to war cemeteries in Central and Eastern Europe, and told the meeting, according to its minutes, that, quote, "those East European states which objected will have to have the thumbscrews put on them because they depend on us for large-scale economic assistance," unquote. The War Graves Society, out of consideration for the feelings of the population in East European countries, and after warnings from the Hungarian government, had, according to the Frankfurter Rundschau, quote, "wanted above all not to include SS symbols or ranks on the gravestones." Also indicative of Klaus Naumann's outlook, and very significant from an institutional standpoint, are Klaus Naumann's overt steps to transform the attitude, the training, and the discipline, and the very nature of the Bundeswehr into an offensive fighting force. Some of the language used here might appear to be subtle to, again, uninitiated observers, but in fact it connotes a very, very significant shift in the Bundeswehr situation. It is now being viewed as an instrument of foreign policy, and indeed it is now headed up by an individual who gloatingly celebrates what he sees as the reversal of the values of the French Revolution. Returning again to Reunited Germany, the New Danger. Speaking of Klaus Naumann, the Reunited Germany writes, "He has restored the national command readiness of the Bundeswehr at every level. There is now to be a complete command structure for the army with its headquarters in Koblenz, command posts north, Münster, south, Ulm, and east, Potsdam, and at the top of the Defense Ministry a command council," unquote, set up under the influence of the, quote, "chief of the general staff," unquote. The nature of the German membership of NATO and the Western European Union will be fundamentally altered. Whereas in the past the Bundeswehr was a servant of NATO, the Defense Ministry's view is that this is now the other way around. The value of the alliance will be measured in terms of whether it meets Germany's scale of values and interests, such as the new standards for the Bundeswehr. If NATO's existence is still accepted, it is merely because the present power structure allows of no other option in the foreseeable future. Naumann has introduced a new offensive strategy for the Bundeswehr, which the general is attempting to promote as being, quote, strategically alert rather than reactively averting war, unquote, and again quoting, integrated provision of protection and organization, unquote, and again quoting, a lesson from the tragedy of Bosnia, unquote. As we shall see, and as we have seen in the past, Germany had a great deal to do with precipitating that particular tragedy, and indeed, there are some serious questions to be asked as to whether perhaps that tragedy was deliberately and consciously precipitated by Germany in anticipation of regrettably having to send its armed forces in. If that seems like an extreme possibility, and again, I think that's only a possibility to be considered, stay tuned for the rest of this and other broadcasts in this series. Continuing with the reunited Germany. The aggressively experienced CDU politician Alfred Draeger brought the underlying thinking to the fore. Germany must, he said, be prepared for a prompt intervention in any crisis that threatens peace, unquote, and, quote, be in a position to produce a strategic counter-concentration before an armed conflict arises, unquote. In the future, military management of crises and conflicts must function in a widened geographical area. One more time. In the future, military management of crises and conflicts must function in a widened geographical area, unquote, say the new Bundeswehr regulations, meaning the global arena. Referring in particular to the Eastern European crisis region, quote, Kohl is urging the Bundeswehr to facilitate the formation of special fighting units. Their purpose is to be available in the event that NATO, on behalf of the United Nations, should place itself between the fronts, unquote, says Der Spiegel, begging the question as to whether deployment in a region regarded as a German zone of influence of, quote, nonpartisan, unquote, Bundeswehr units would be possible. And skipping down, talking about the German military traditions in this particular region, the reunited Germany, the new danger, takes up the question of German normality. But suppose one confronts the general and his armed forces with the fundamental question, what about National Socialism? Then the German, quote, normality, unquote, with all its sharp contradictions, becomes apparent in the shape of a chief of staff who is prepared, A, to deploy Bundeswehr auxiliary units in uniform in the former Soviet Union so that, quote, memories of earlier German uniforms may be expunged from the minds of the Soviet people. Skipping down. It is well known that in Yugoslavia alone, the Wehrmacht put many thousands of men up against the wall and shot them in punishment operations, murdering their wives, children, and old people in gas wagons, and assisting the SS with mass deportations. A typical Wehrmacht report from occupied Yugoslavia stated, quote, the preparation of the pits takes most of the time, while the shooting itself proceeds very quickly, 100 men in 40 minutes, unquote. It is, however, apparently not yet, unquote, possible to evaluate, unquote, the deeds of the Wehrmacht, according to the latest service orders issued in the summer of 1993 as part of the Bundeswehr's, quote, inner leadership, unquote, program. It would seem that it would indeed be possible to evaluate, the Bundeswehr manual to the contrary notwithstanding, it would indeed be possible to evaluate the deeds of the Wehrmacht in the former Yugoslavia and elsewhere. Continuing. Quote, guidelines concerning tradition are closely related to the foundations and the basic rules of inner leadership. At the time of issue of this order, assessment and evaluation of important parts of recent German history are not complete. It is inarguable, however, that because of its nature as a party political and class army of a communist system, the National People's Army, which was disbanded upon the unification of Germany, can provide no tradition for the Bundeswehr, unquote. Where then will this Bundeswehr tradition, quote-unquote, come from? Behind these sentences is a hidden agenda, a readiness to reevaluate the Nazi army which oversteps the limitations that were still regarded as necessary in the old Federal Republic of Germany. Naumann withdrew the, quote, tradition concept, unquote, that was originally proposed in the Bundeswehr, not because of a passage in the proposals which in the context of the Hitler period referred to soldierly bearing of men and units who bore themselves in those times with honor and earned the respect of the Bundeswehr, unquote, but because of another passage in which, quote, any connection between a Bundeswehr tradition and that of the Wehrmacht as an institution, unquote, was expressly rejected. Neither Naumann nor the federal government want to exclude that connection for very much longer. Again, Naumann acting in such a way as to emphasize continuity between the old and the new with regard to the German military, a continuity which exists all across the spectrum of German society, although obviously not embracing all of it. Continuing with this segment. Since a warfighting capability is the stated aim of the Army's new training regime, quote, the study of the Second World War campaigns must of course be a requirement for the majority of officers, unquote, says the periodical Europäische Siegerite, which is closely associated with the Bundeswehr. A prerequisite, however, is finding common ground fairly with our fathers and grandfathers' generations, in which in other nations is taken for granted, unquote. The Bundeswehr must not, quote, separate itself from the roots which our founders from the Wehrmacht so painstakingly and with exemplary personal commitment sank in the earth, because these are roots which reach deep into the German past and German military history, unquote. That from Europäische Siegerite from February of 1992. The victor mentality in the Bundeswehr has its roots in a German military history which was made not only by Hitler and Keitel, a Second World War field marshal convicted at Nuremberg, or Wilhelm II and Moltke the Younger, but also by Bismarck and his field marshal von Moltke, who had the distinction, unlike the aforementioned, of not only fighting for, but also winning for Germany. Moltke, the Prussian chief of staff, by his victories at Königgrätz and Sedan, enabled Germany to become a European continental power. In 1870 and 71, in defeating France, the, quote, traditional enemy, unquote, he also defeated, quote, the ideas of 1789, unquote, and ensured that the German Empire would be proclaimed in the Versailles Hall of Mirrors and could immediately go into action. The first step was to participate in the Paris bloodbath ordered by the same Moltke, in which the Paris Commune was drowned in 1871. Editor's note, cooperation between the French government and the Prussians led to the breakdown of the Paris defenses and the crushing of the Commune. The ensuing massacre of men, women, and children was one of the bloodiest episodes in the history of Europe. Quote, a period is ending which had its beginning in the French Revolution of 1789, unquote. Is it then really pure coincidence that Naumann has decorated his Bonn office with a large, gold-framed portrait of the French hater Helmut Graf von Moltke studying maps in Versailles? During the 40-year period leading to the fall of the Berlin Wall, the Germans, according to Michael Stürmer, a right-wing conservative historian, had a holiday from history, unquote. The holiday is now over. History is getting virulent. While the victors of the Second World War were still restraining the Germans and using the East-West confrontation as a reason, the nationalist ideologists kept their powder dry. Now, they're loading their rifles again. The venomous hatreds of the right-wing intelligentsia, which were fixated on their Cold War opponents for years, have turned again to an even older target, the liberal, democratic promises of the French Revolution. It is not the non-fulfillment of the ideals of liberty, equality, fraternity which is criticized, but the slogan itself. They do not want its terms fulfilled and attack the fact that it could ever have been conceived. Naumann's dictum must be seen in this context. His pronouncement about the end of the 1789 period signals that Germany is also in the process of a return to, quote, normality, unquote, ideologically, and not just in articles in the right-wing press. It signals that the 45 years of democracy, Germany's entire acquaintance with the concept, was also a period of, quote, abnormality, unquote, in German history. German, quote, normality, unquote, is indeed returning. One aspect of German normality that will be new will be the possibility of Germany as a nuclear power. In a sidebar, another close-up segment, the Reunited Germany, the New Danger, has the following. In an article entitled, in a segment entitled The Bomb and Laser Weapons, experts from the independent U.S. Institute for Nuclear Control, or NCI, have warned Germany against the construction of a 720 million Deutschmark nuclear research reactor, unquote, and said that the high-grade enriched uranium needed for its operation, quote, will never be delivered, unquote. Paul Leventhal and Alan Cooperman, both officials of the NCI, severely criticized the German plan to use weapons-grade material at the planned nuclear center FRM-2 in Garching near Munich. The new center puts a big question mark over Germany's adherence to existing nuclear proliferation and arms limitation agreements. The Non-Proliferation Pact expires in 1995. The American NCI scientists told a press conference in Munich on June 26, 1994, that only a few kilos of the fuel to be used at the plant would be enough to build an atom bomb. The U.S. criticism of FRM2 has also been joined by the president of the German Parliament's Research Commission, Wolf Michael Kattenhausen, who says that there is simply no scientific justification, unquote, for the construction of a reactor fueled by such high-grade uranium. Despite the protests and warnings that the necessary nuclear material will not be made available, the research reactor plan will go ahead, raising the grave questions of whether this is the first move in a German attempt to develop weapons of mass destruction. Indeed, so that would be one aspect of German, quote, normality, unquote, that will not be like the past, because indeed there will be something altogether new in, quote, German normality, unquote. Information about the failure of denazification is available in numerous other archive shows, including Radio Free America number 2 and also Radio Free America number 37 in a big, big way, a massive 45-hour documentary done between the end of July and mid-October of 1992. Those archive shows are available from a tape duplication service called Archives on Audio. More information about that right now.
Tape cassettes of Dave Emery's archive documentaries and weekly One Step Beyond programs are available from a tape duplication service. The service is Archives on Audio, and you can contact them at Post Office Box 170023, San Francisco, California, 94117-0023. The phone number is area code 415-346-1840. Once again, that's P.O. Box 170023, San Francisco, California, 94117-0023. The phone number and area code are 415-346-1840. A 12-page catalog listing and describing each archive show is available.
That, by the way, is in a 19-page catalog now containing a description of each archive show and cross-referencing the programs with other broadcasts containing similar or related material. Again, neither myself nor the station gets money out of this arrangement. That concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.